The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
Many doubted we'd ever see it, but here it is.
This is history.
Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win it!
It's Serena Williams again. Grand Slam number 22.
He's a five times World Formula One champion.
There it is.
The winner is Muhammad Ali.
Off the Ball's own Sheehan with another instalment of The Greatest. I can't believe that you are persisting with this, given the amount of grief that you're getting for your selections, Owen. I mean, surely you should have realised by now that this was not the feature for you in the current environment. I mean, now is your chance. Repent or forever. Keep your peace.
Well, I've got a feeling that you're going to like this list today, Jonathan. You never tend to show any bias to Cork, of course, as all your listeners will attest to, but you might just be happy come the end of this list. No spoilers just yet, though.
No spoilers just yet. We want the listeners to, as they always do, with such grace and dignity, please cast your verdict on Owen Sheehan's selection for The Greatest. And today we are talking about The Greatest Olympian. So it's actually, when you think about it, it's a narrow enough little list, isn't it?
I guess you could say that. Certainly that the criteria tends to narrow itself down to gold medal winners only, given we have had more than three of them and we're doing our top three today. So yeah, it is a narrow list. It was supposed to be finishing up in the next couple of days, the 2020 Olympics. We'd have to wait another year for that, but sure, this is the next best thing going through our top three greatest Olympians. So the quick criteria here is that I'm basing things on Olympic achievements, and the Olympians have to have represented Ireland. So we've had the likes of Martin Sheridan and Tom Kiely, who represented Great Britain and the United States. But these are only athletes who've represented Ireland. So will we get straight into it and go for our third place?
Let's go for it. Now, here you are setting yourself up for the most monumental fall of all time. The man who is credited as being Ireland's greatest Olympian and has been for decades, you have in third place. It's Mr. Ronnie Delaney. A fantastic field that he ended up finishing in gold and finishing first.
Exactly. He was up against some of the best. Three of his rivals that day had held world records. Ronnie Delaney himself, only a 21-year-old at this point, winning it in 3 minutes and 41 seconds. It was a strange year for Ronnie Delaney coming into this. This was an Olympics that took place in December, obviously, because it was in Melbourne. He had sustained an Achilles injury earlier that year, and his place on the team, going to Melbourne perhaps, wasn't assured. There are plenty of different threads here that create the icon that is Ronnie Delaney and create the lore of this year. There are so many things about this Olympics, not least the British representative on the International Olympics Committee, who wanted the Irish team to be called ERA for those games. The team manager for Ireland got sick en route, and Maeve Kyle, who was Ireland's first ever female Olympian, had to sew their official numbers onto their vests. They ended up winning 5 medals. It was our second best ever Olympics, bettered only by London 2012. So you've got all of that. You've got the race. You've got not just the world record holders in the field. You've got another finalist, Ken Wood, who was claiming at the time to have beaten the 4-minute mile barrier by a few weeks before Roger Bannister had done so. So this is not just a one-off where an Irish guy came up against a few weak people, or that there was a weak field one year. This was the best of the best. This was Ronnie Delaney.
It was fantastic, and it really was. What stuck in my head, Owen, and I can't shift it, and I won't give away too much more about what else is to come. For me, growing up, Ronnie Delaney was the first Irish man to ever win a gold at the Olympics. And of course, that's not true. I don't know how that got stuck in my head.
No, that is not true. I guess perhaps the Ronnie Delaney thing is often crystallised into athletics. And you know, when you get into the final stretch, to pardon the pun, in an Olympic setup, you just focus on track and field. And then all our focus goes on that, and we worry about not meddling at all most times. Like the achievements of Sonia O'Sullivan are absolutely incredible. but to actually win gold is something that we've always struggled to do, especially in athletics. And Ronnie Delaney being the last gold medal winner in athletics is the thing. Like, there are tons of other things that you could talk about when it comes to Ronnie Delaney, just how revered he was around the world. Like, the idea of a young fella in post-war Ireland to go off to the United States, off to Villanova University to carve out an incredible collegiate career for himself is one thing. To be the first Irish person to feature on the cover of Sports Illustrated really shows how revered he was all around the world. And he retired at the age of 25. Let us not forget, this is a guy who hung up the boots early. He knew what he had achieved at that point. And then other parts of his legacy, they're going to get a statue for him in Arklow pretty soon. He already has a housing estate there. And there are a pair of roads up in County Derry called Delaney Crescent and Olympic Drive, which were named after him in 1957. Although they did misspell Delaney up in Derry. They put an E in there. But the Delaney case is strong. As you say, you could make an argument for him being the best ever Olympian. For me, he is our third greatest Olympian.
All right. Well, now, I give out to you for that one. I don't disagree with you for your choice for second place.
The winner by a score of 10-8 and the Olympic champion in the record.
Katie Taylor is the champion of the Olympic Games. Fabulous, Katie.
It's unbelievable. This is a dream come true for me, and I've dreamed of this moment ever since the start of boxing, and now it's here. I'm an Olympic champion, so thank God for such a great victory.
Yeah, the very laid back Katie Taylor after winning her gold medal. Great to hear the voice of the late Jimmy McGee there. And I think that was actually his last Olympics, and what a one to go out on. Katie Taylor in second place, well known as being the best of the best before she stepped into the Olympic ring. And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't that the first time that women's boxing ever made the Olympic grade?
Correct. And it was in no small part thanks to Katie Taylor herself. And this is the decision I had to weigh up here between Ronnie Delaney and Katie Taylor. The number one was someone that I definitely had in there, but it was between Taylor and Delaney for this. And I picked Taylor because we are crystallizing it down to the Olympics and how associated a person is with the Olympics. If somebody has managed to get their entire sport into the Games itself and has been such a big campaigner and such a vocal critic of the fact that women weren't allowed into boxing rings in the Olympic Games 10 years ago, then I think that person deserves everything they get in terms of these lists, especially considering they actually went out there and won the thing. This is a woman who had to pretend to be a boy to even get into the boxing ring in the late 1990s. That campaign that eventually got over the line, that felt as emotional a moment for Katie Taylor as anything else when in 2009 they announced that women's boxing would be allowed into the Games. But then it was another thing entirely, Jonathan, to actually step up and do it. And she was given the job as a flag bearer for Ireland in the 2012 Games. The pressure was incredible. There was a few hairy moments in that final where we thought that perhaps she had to settle for the silver medal, but got over the line with an excellent final round against Achigava in that final. And it has to go down as one of the great modern Irish sporting moments. Everything she's done since has been incredible. But she will always be remembered for that gold medal. And again, to come back to the idea of Delaney, to come back to the sparsity of gold medals and not being able to celebrate a whole pile of gold medals in recent years, the fact that we could have unadulterated celebrations on behalf of Katie Taylor as a nation in 2012 felt like a very rare thing. It is one of our greatest moments in the Olympics. And she, in my opinion, is our second greatest ever Olympian.
Okay, now, and we move to the first place. For once, Owen Sheehan, for once you may have actually gotten this right, because very close to where I'm sitting right now is the hammer that was used by the man who is in your first place. And I remember for years looking up at it going, I never realised that we won gold medals for hammer throw. Here is we don't even have it because we have a little bit of audio that'll explain it anyway. Here's the man at the first place.
The old UCD ground in Kimmage. And there was a man there, an old EMG man called Ryan, Paddy Ryan. He was then a sergeant, and he was Irish champion, I think, about that time. And he used to hang his hammer in the caretaker's kitchen. And when he'd go away, I used to go and get the hammer after him and try to see what he'd be doing. He wouldn't. I used to watch him doing this thing, and I was fascinated by the pull of this thing and the swing of this thing, and I'd be throwing it in his absence. Oh, I must have been 17 and a half, 18.
The late Dr. Pat O'Callaghan there. To those who don't know, who is Pat O'Callaghan?
Well, he's a Cork man, first off, Jonathan. I think it's probably the most important thing from your perspective today. He is Ireland's greatest Olympian. He's won two gold medals, both in the hammer throw, winning gold in Amsterdam in 1928 and did it again in Los Angeles in 1932. His backstory is incredible. He's from Duhallow near Kanturk in County Cork. The legend of Dr. Pat O'Callaghan. Let us just cover that first of all. Dr. Pat O'Callaghan, he attended school from the age of two, the legend has, never missed a day at school and went on to study medicine at the Royal College of Surgeons. He was too young to even practice medicine in Ireland when he graduated. Such was his youth, graduating at the age of 20 as a surgeon. An outstanding professional in that field, but obviously one of Ireland's greatest athletes as well. He was an all-around athlete. That is where he started, but he eventually settled on the hammer. And the story goes that he acquired a cannonball from Macroom Castle, asked a local blacksmith to attach a handle to it, and he headed off competing around the country, establishing his profile as Ireland's greatest hammer thrower at the time. We get to 1928 then. This is the first time the Irish flag gets raised at an Olympic Games. He is the first person to win a gold medal for Ireland, surprising everybody in the fields. The Swedes, the Americans, they were supposed to be in the position here on the podium, getting the gold medal. And Pat O'Callaghan's pride in doing it for Ireland at the time is something that you see in all the interviews he did it later in his life. But to do it again in 1932 is on another level completely. To do back-to-back Olympic titles, Katie Taylor will tell you how difficult that is. 1932, goes to Los Angeles. He arrives with spiked shoes, Jonathan, despite the fact that there was a concrete ground in the hammer throwing area. He'd been used to throwing on clay and on grass. So he had to grind down his spikes on the day of the hammer final in 1932. He was helped by Bob Tisdall to grind down those spikes. Bob Tisdall was none other than the 400-metre hurdler who had just won gold for Ireland earlier that afternoon. It was Ireland's greatest ever day in the Olympics. And he made the most of his time in Los Angeles that time, Pat O'Callaghan. He met a few famous people and was asked to take on the role of Tarzan in Hollywood films. He declined that offer. And in 1934, he went back to America, fought some wrestling exhibition matches, and was offered a contract which was supposed to have been worth $6 million in today's money. But again, he declined that. He loved to get home too much. He loved Cork too much. But that,
well, anyone from Duhallow would tell you the draw is very strong to bring you back there, even with a €6 million contract. There's a text here from Jim and Shannon who says, Dr. Pat O'Callaghan used to say that if he had the current type of hammer, he would have set records that would not have been equaled. And that might sound grandiose, and it might sound he was up himself, but the skill of this man, back-to-back goals, he had an incredible throw.
He did. Like, he literally threw a cannonball. As I say, they were made of different stuff back then. The actual tools that they threw, there was such a variation in these. They were so unstandardized that people often ended up training themselves way harder than they need to at this point. He could have. He always comes across as the type of fellow who could have won a gold medal in a lot of things. As I say, he started off as an all-arounder. But to go and do it in back-to-back games, to be the best in the world in a span of 4 years is incredible. And there is no question at all that day in 1932 is Ireland's greatest ever hour in the Olympic arena. And I just think that he edges the other two competitors and a host of other competitors today as Ireland's greatest ever individual that has competed in the Olympics.
I'm going to agree with you on number one, right? Because obviously he is the best. But you didn't include the likes of Michael Carruth, gold medal winner. First gold medal we ever won in boxing. Massive night of drama back in Barcelona in 92. John Tracy, Los Angeles in 1984. And another Cork athlete, probably our finest track and field athlete there, Sonia O'Sullivan. I know she only won silver, but you left her out as well. You're not very good at this, I have to say, Owen Sheen. You're going to have to sharpen it up by you come round next week, right?
I'll do my very best. The Sonia case is unbelievably strong. I'm surprised you're not fighting this stronger as a fellow Corkonian here. But given again,
she had bad games.
the sport that she was in as well. I mean, I think we do need to give a higher weighting to athletics, and perhaps that is a case why Delaney perhaps should have usurped Katie Taylor on this. But it's just Katie Taylor's attachment with the sport and the Olympic Games and getting that sport into the Games is why she edged the competitors. But ultimately, that is also why Michael Carruth loses out to someone like Delaney, because a gold medal in athletics, a silver medal in athletics even, as Sonia managed to achieve, is an absolutely incredible achievement. Everybody runs. It's the first sport we all do as kids. So that probably has a higher weighting.
Well, I have to say, to a man, woman and child who've texted in, they all disagree with you for various different reasons. But thanks for trying. Owen Sheehan, with your latest instalment of The Greatest. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.